and every river, lake, and field in between. Let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, folks, it's a wonderful Saturday morning here in Wisconsin, and we're glad that you're tuning in to either 1250 AM or 105.7 FM, The Fan, to listen to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors with Danny Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. I thought you were going to go get a coffee, Danny.
Well, I saw it's the top of the hour. I mean, I got to be here.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
It's time. Your pilot's got, the co-pilot has to remain with the pilot. Otherwise, you might end up in the
Andes.
In the
eating each other.
What's the name of that river? That New York River. They ended
the Hudson.
The Hudson. You might end up in Hudson River for gosh, God darn sake. Hey, did you all of a sudden move out west or something, Tom?
Why?
Why? Because you showed me a picture of that deer, and you said, "Oh, it's 5 points."
4 or 5. Well, I was.
Are you talking Western count?
No.
For God's sake, that looks like a 8 to 10 point.
No,
dude.
I was counting the points on it, and one side had 3, and one had 2. Unless the other one
was
hiding
more than,
in the
that
grass.
Looks like there was 4 or 5 on each side.
Here. Let me bring this up. Oh, and by the way, folks, you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com, or you can call us here at the show at 799-1250. Look, Danny, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now see how that looks like 1, 2, and then 3 and 4, 2 on each side.
Okay, there's
but let
1, 2, 3 on at least one side, which there's at least 3 on the other side.
Where's the third one?
Okay.
I only see 4
right
total.
Under there.
Oh,
one,
okay.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And wait
you're
a minute.
Not counting the brown tines either.
No, I'm not. Wait a minute.
Brown tines count.
Don't run away yet.
I'm running away.
Here, I got another one to show you.
I got a bad back.
I got another one to show you here. Wait a minute.
I want to look at more dead deer.
Yeah, one more dead deer. Here, look at this one. Look at this picture. Now, I see 5 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, there's 3 on this side.
Oh, you're counting this one, too.
No, I'm just skipping points and not counting them, Tom.
I wasn't even counting that one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then there's got to be another brown tine there.
You
so
think
that would
so?
Be,
you
so
think
it's at least 7? There's
it's
a brown
at least
tine
7.
There, 8,
okay.
And this nub could be. Some people would count that nub. So
some people would count that little
the
nub.
They count from the middle of the antler up to it. If it's an inch, it's a point.
Oh. I don't know if that's an inch, but then again.
An 8 or 9 point buck, and you're over there talking.
5 or 6.
Boy, I'd never want to show you any of my deer that I harvest. You know, I'd come in with a nice fork horn. You'd say Bush came in with a fawn. Of course, then there's some people who do the other thing where they get a nub buck, right? And they won't admit to it. They'll say, I got a spike. No, you didn't. You got a nub buck.
Yeah, nubber.
Okay. It ain't.
Oh.
If they got little hairy nubs sitting at the top of their noggin, it's a nub buck,
here.
Not a spike. But my dad used to say that actually because it made people feel bad that you shot Bambi.
Okay. Yeah,
you didn't want to get them all worked.
Mark sent us back another email. It said, Tom, it was an 8-pointer. DNR number to register roadkill deer or turkey. And he gives the phone number. I think everybody's got that. But I'll just tell you anyway. It's 608-267-7691. It is an automated registration. You do not even talk to a person. Have a pen and paper handy because they give you a confirmation number that you have to keep until the meat is consumed.
So now they got an automatic number.
Yeah.
When you hit a roadkill, you call up. And then press 1 for English, press 2 for Spanish. And then once you do get a live operator, if you hold and hit 4 to talk to a representative, you get...
But,
thank you, please.
Now, but wait a minute. Okay, now wait a minute.
How can I help you today?
Now, wait a minute.
You'll be talking to someone from India about to register your roadkill Wisconsin deer.
Now, here's the funny thing, though. It says they're going to give you a confirmation number, and you have to keep that number until the meat is consumed. Well, who's going to check the number.
Hey, you know.
Who's going to check
I'm calling on you.
Who's going to check the number?
I'm going to send him over.
I don't know. Who's...
Police. Tom Newbar, check his refrigerator. He's got deer in there, and he doesn't have the tag with the number. No, Tom, what I do when I harvest the whitetails, I throw those. I used to throw the metal tags or whatever tags or what in the freezer with the venison until consumed.
Consumed. Okay.
Yeah. So you are supposed to do that. That's one of those things that you're supposed to do, but probably people kind of, you know, unless you're an egregious offender with a record, you know, like Louis Spray, that you're some real bandit. I don't think the DNR is going to come knocking your door down.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I don't know, one time when we almost, you know, when we could have got busted by the DNR, is there a statute of limitations on stuff like this? Years ago when I deer hunted, I think I've told the story up in Marinette County, my brother, a doe came through the woods on three legs, literally with three legs. It had gotten a leg shot off. Mm-hmm. So we shot it, but we didn't have a tag. That was the party permit days.
Okay.
So my dad, they cleaned it, put it up in an evergreen tree and figured, well, we'll just come back on a snowmobile during Christmas time. But then my dad got out to the farm and he just looked at my brother and he said, we're going back for that deer. And he drove through the farm field at night. And my brother said, Dad was acting like a maniac. Corn stalks are bouncing off the side of the truck and he's driving down the road. He says, go throw that in the back of the truck. So that's when he had my brother throw it in the back. And that's when he had the thing where he drove back to Green Bay and started getting all paranoid, looking in his rearview mirror. He thought everybody was a cop, and he started freaking out and getting crazy. But anyway, the rest of the story is when Dad went out the driveway, there was a car there with some guy getting out, and they just kind of waved at him as they drove out the farm because my dad was friends with the farmer. In fact, the farmer's wife used to babysit me when I was a little kid. You know who that guy was that was waving?
Who?
He was the warden coming to pick up his kids because the lady, the farmer, she used to babysit the warden's kids.
Oh,
and then
no.
When my dad found that out a year later, he goes, well, for crying out loud, you'd think you guys would tell me that. He goes, so there they go, bouncing out the door with the three-legged deer.
Oh, geez.
I don't know what they would have done. Dad's dead now, so you can't arrest him for it. I don't know what they would have done if you'd call the DNR and say, listen, I put a deer out of its misery. Yeah. It was on three legs. But as a general rule of thumb, they don't want you doing something like that because maybe some guy would cut a deer's leg off, shoot it, call the DNR and say, hey, it came through the woods on three legs. Yeah, I don't know.
They'd have to take it over to CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. Have them investigate it.
But now there's a number that you can call for the roadkill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be you'd actually call your county sheriff for, you know, I think it was the county sheriff. Yeah. Initially,
Initially.
Well, at one point, you couldn't keep roadkill.
Right.
When you and I grew up,
it'd
be like, oh, there's a shame. Look at that one. Looks pretty good. It's not all that beat up.
Yeah. Not anymore. Well, we got a caller on the line. Who do we got?
Ralph from Stone Bank.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Ralph. Thanks for holding on. We do appreciate it.
Morning. I'm 62, and I hunted my whole life. And yesterday, I had at least 10 or 11 bucks come running through my yard chasing does around.
Really?
Oh. And only two of them were small. One was an 11 or a 12.
Wow.
A bunch of eights. I was trying to get ready to go hunting today, and they kept running around, and I kept trying to film them. And the last two were running right down the subdivision road.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It would have really been a good time to be in the woods somewhere, I think.
Yeah, really.
They're moving now. Yeah.
It's out in Stone Bank, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they were coming right through the yard. And
oh, jeez.
Some of them were 30 seconds behind the doe, and some were 2-3 minutes behind the doe. And
wow.
I knew they were coming because the doe's tongue was hanging out, so she had been running for a while.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see.
Wow. Yeah, when you see that many bucks, wow.
So you're going to set that tree stand up right in your backyard there, I figure. There.
I wish I could, but
yeah.
I can't.
I know. Hey,
so where are you headed up to go hunting?
Delafield.
Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Not that far away.
Yeah.
No, I got a little private piece I can hunt, and I found out the deer usually don't get going until you know, 8 o'clock to 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, during the rut, that's the thing. They can be moving all day long.
Yeah.
Well, that's
good. And then these deer were pretty much between 8 and 10.
Well, that's what I saw when I got stuck with the coyotes on the field in my truck a couple of weeks ago. I saw a lot of nice, about that 8-point class, decent bucks, not monster bucks, running around. So there's a lot of good bucks in the state this year, I guess, wherever you're at. Hey, wasn't there a monster hit by a car out by Delafield a couple of years ago? Seems to me I heard there was a monster hit on the interstate out there. And it was one that people had seen, too, previously, running around. Maybe it wasn't hit on the interstate, but anyway, there's a lot of big urban deer. I guess they got life better living in, you know, like Brookfield or whatever. They don't have the hunters chasing them. And
These
deer, these bigger bucks, I've never seen them the whole, you know, June, July, August, September. They just popped out now. Now and again, I'll see a big one, but not this many. I live on the end of a big ridge, but they were going everywhere. I mean, right through the houses. But when they're chasing them does, wherever they go, they'll go.
They don't care.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling and let us know. That was very interesting.
Good luck hunting.
Yeah. It was neat to see. I've never seen that in the woods. So.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Take
bye
care.
Now.
Maybe for decoys, he ought to, like, you know, set up like a fake driveway and a fake garage. Yeah. And that maybe they like to run by buildings now. Set that up in the woods.
Just last week, I was reading in one of the newspaper type magazines about, I forget what county it was in, but a guy shot a big 14 pointer. That rack was, and not only was the rack huge, the animal was huge. It was a 14 pointer. Now the green score on the antlers was, I think it was like 208 or 210 green. So this thing could end up being a 200 pointer. It was really big.
Green score. Was it a typical?
Yes. Yeah. Typical. It was typical. Yeah. It was a beautiful rack. And those base tines, Danny, they looked like they were almost as big as like a soda can almost.
Have you ever seen a non-typical?
Yeah. You mean out in the wild?
Out hunting.
No. No.
Other than a few like little freaky little spikes, we had one buck that we called the unicorn buck, was a little one that kind of had like some weird kind of, but I've never seen like a big developed buck.
Yeah, right.
With a non-typical.
I've only seen those mounted, you know, the heads mounted, you know.
Although my uncle did shoot one up there in Douglas County on the Nemadji River Drive. Mm-hmm. I was actually down the river bend from him, and we'd go across the river when it was froze, and we'd make this big drive, and that's where my dad got his big 10-point buck years ago, and these bucks will naturally run to the river because that's their safety crossing across to the other side. And I saw my uncle raise his rifle and look around across the river to a point where I couldn't see where I was on the river bend. And he shot once, and he got a beautiful big buck, non-typical, that was standing looking at him, you know, from about 100 yards away, 150 yards away, looking at him as the buck was determining what he was.
Yeah.
As the buck was thinking about crossing the river, but it never got the chance.
Never got the chance. Too bad for that bucky.
Yep, it's too bad.
So anyway, we got to go to a break, but we need a contestant. Now, remember, folks, if you've won in the last month, please don't call. We want to get as many new winners as possible. So 799-1250 is for the football picking contest. I don't know, Nick, if you're up to date on how to do that stuff. Did Ryan tell you about it?
Oh, yeah. Ryan told me about a degenerate camera. We're all good.
You know how? Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah. All right. So anyways,
now's a good time to be talking.
Yeah,
about
I know.
It.
We should have been talking
Let's
earlier.
Pick some games.
799-1250 is the phone number. Be a contestant. It is sponsored by Curly's Waterfront Pub on beautiful Pewaukee Lake. All kinds of TVs, great food, great drinks, great atmosphere, and a lot of nice people up there, like Bushy is in there every now and then.
Yeah,
you could meet a celebrity like Bushy up there.
Be in there.
Anyway, 414-799-1250 is the phone number. Be a contestant for the football picking contest. We'll be right back with more. It's 2 a.m. Here it's gone.
legs are still warm.
Whoa, folks. Oh, thanks for holding on there. Me and Danny were going to get a cup of coffee back there. And, you know, me and Danny are always talking outdoorsy stuff, you know. And sometimes we get to yakking when we should be back in the studio. Oh, it is now time for the NFL football picking contest. And while Nick gets that loaded up to see the games and that we'll be picking today and see what the odds are. Now, I got to do a little bragging. And, you know, our former producer, Ryan, he was a football bettor. He liked betting on the games. And, you know, every now and then I have a lock of the week. I've had two this year, and they both were right on. You know what my lock was last week, Jeff?
What?
It was the Packers. Okay. Taking the Packers and the 9 points. And no problemo. Well, there could have been if their running back would have ran into the end zone instead of stopping.
Yeah, that cost me money.
Oh, that cost a lot of people money. Are you kidding? Oh, you know how many people were, like, screaming and hollering?
I was one.
TVs? Yeah, you were.
I was begging for the push.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know that guy. Oh, but you know what? That was a smart thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Run out the clock.
It was smart.
They got the first down. Run out the clock. Yeah.
He doesn't care about my wallet.
Yeah, he don't care about anybody's wallets, but oh man. I was that was crazy.
What was that spread you said
it was? It was 9 points, Danny.
No, you can hear me.
Yeah, it was 9 points.
The button.
Yeah. So anyway,
catching on.
Who do we have for a contestant?
Our contestant is Brian from Shorewood.
All righty. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
All righty, we're just fine. All right, we'll let Nick take it over now. Well, we got the NFC North games and, of course, the Wisconsin game. So what do you want to do first, Nick?
Why don't we do Lions-Vikings? Vikings are -5 right now.
Lions versus Vikings, and so the Lions are?
The Vikings are -5.
The Vikings are giving up 5 points. Mm-hmm. Who do you like there, Brian?
I'm going to go with the Vikings. The Lions have beaten them the only two times since the stadium has been open in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's going to rebound. I like Minnesota.
Yeah. What about you, Danny?
I think the Lions are going to give them a game.
Okay. He's taking the Lions. And they're playing that where again? At Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh, well, give me the Vikings. I'll take the Vikings.
I'll take the Vikings, too.
All right. What's the next game?
So our next game we'll do, why don't we go out to the AFC East? We'll do the Jets against the Dolphins.
No, you can't. We only do NFC
only
North.
Only NFC North, okay.
Only NFC North.
Stick it to NFC North. Still learning here, boys.
Tom's real fussy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. John used to like to take the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, we got the Bears against the Bulls. So Chicago Bears taking on the Buffalo Bills here, and Chicago is -10 right now.
They're giving up 10 points to Buffalo? All right. What do you like, Brian?
I'm going to take the Bears. I usually don't like the Bears on a big spread, but I don't see Buffalo scoring very much.
Okay, you're going to take the Bears. Danny?
Where's the game at?
Buffalo.
I'll still take the Bears.
I'm going with Buffalo in the points. I'll take Buffalo in the points.
I think that
they're not terrible, you know? They're not really terrible. Well, maybe.
What are you trying to say, Tom?
I'm still going to take the points.
All right,
because it's in Buffalo.
Trubisky.
Stick with the Bears there.
Yeah.
And then going on to our Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football, taking on the New England Patriots. Going to be a big-time game, primetime matchup there. So currently, Patriots -6.5.
So the Packers are getting 6.5 points. Brian, who do you like?
I like the Packers to win outright. I'll take the points.
All right. And you, Danny, what do you like?
I'll take the Packers with the points.
I'm going to take the pack with the points, too. How about you, Mr. Bodie?
You know, give me the Patriots. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about the losing their safety. I think Tom Brady's going to have to carve them up, man.
This
James
could
White's
be a tough season for the Packers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even, you know, back in the Brett Favre days, we had some 8 years. And
are we looking for the Wisconsin game now?
Yeah, trying to get the odds here.
Okay, hold on, Brian, because we're looking for the Wisconsin game.
Okay, so while they look, Tom, how did Wisconsin do last week?
They lost. They lost big.
Who'd they lose to again?
Northwestern.
Really?
Yeah. Northwestern's got a pretty good team this year. But the Badgers have only won,
What is it? One time out of eight, Brian?
That's right. Because
they
had that second string.
Down there?
They had that second string quarterback that I predicted would be so good, and it didn't work out so good.
Exactly.
Somebody else was telling me about that. Now,
didn't work out
so great.
Yeah.
They thought the same as me, that, you know, maybe this new quarterback would be good. But I
think
but
Northwestern's got a good team this year, so, you know. Nick, who do you got for the Wisconsin game?
So Wisconsin-Rutgers. Wisconsin is minus 30 right now. They're looking to be pretty good. I'm going to take the Badgers, I think. Even with Alex Hornibrook back, I like this team.
Given 30 points?
Given 30.
I know Rutgers is terrible.
Yeah.
Danny, what do you like?
I'll take the Badgers.
You know what? I'm going to take that 30 points in Rutgers. I'm going to take the 30 in Rutgers. Mark me down for that. It's not a lock. It's not a shoo-in, but I'm going to go with what about you, Brian? What do you like?
I'm going to take the Badgers in a route.
Okay, you think it's going to be the route this week? Think they're going to – they got a little attitude this week?
I think so. I think they might be up by 20 at the end of the first quarter.
Well, let's hope. We'll see.
I think he's correct.
That very well might be, but we'll see. And, Nick, what do you like?
I'll take Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I like the Badgers.
All right.
He's got a Wisconsin sweatshirt on him.
Yeah,
I do.
He's got it written down.
Jeff got on.
Who was the one shirt? Who was the Pharaoh who said, so let it be written, so let it be done?
Metallica.
All right.
Oh, okay, Metallica.
Thanks for playing, Brian. Right. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right,
have a great weekend, you guys.
Take care, too.
Man.
Bye now. Yeah, the NFL football picking contest is brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. Danny, you're going to be out there watching any of the games? No, you're going to be hunting. What am I saying? You're going to be hunting.
I'm going to be driving back tomorrow morning with the big buck. I'm just going to plug one tonight. I won't wait for a giant. I'm just going to take, if it's like an 8-pointer.
You'll be ready for the Packer game.
I'm going to plug it. I can drag it back. I can go to all-you-can-eat Chinese place in Sparta and stop at the sports bar. Any games tonight? Any good sports going on tonight?
There is a lot of great college games. The big one tonight
is the big one?
Alabama versus LSU. Alabama's ranked number one. LSU is ranked number three. And Alabama is still getting 10 points. Or they're giving 10 points to LSU. LSU is number three, and they're still getting 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a good game tonight.
Well, nobody likes Nick Saban, right?
Right. Nobody likes that guy.
He was the guy who
Why don't they like him?
Well, he bolted from the Dolphins years ago.
One
week he's saying he's there with the team, and the next week, boom, that taking the college job. There's no loyalty. And so now I've heard he wants to get a shot at the NFL again.
I wouldn't buy that. He is the highest paid college coach. He's getting paid something like $10 million a year or something.
So,
why would he want to go to the NFL and put up with that headache?
Alabama just have the name recognition where every player wants to go to Alabama, or are they doing some under the table stuff too, like everybody else?
Are there some wealthy
Alabama boosters?
We'll never know.
Taking the kids for cruises and
we'll never know.
Caribbean.
But. Yeah,
bunch of girls and stuff.
Well, you know, everybody.
I'll go play for Alabama.
Yeah, a lot of these young guys want to go to a winning program. They want to be on a winning team because a lot of the guys who are on winning teams, if you're on that team, that means you're pretty good. And if you're on a winning team and you're pretty good, that means that you got a pretty good chance of being drafted in the NFL and making big bucks.
So, Tom, name me a great quarterback that came from Alabama.
Joe Willie Namath.
Bart Starr.
And Bart Starr, yeah.
Brian
that's
Bartlett
right,
Starr.
I forgot, yeah.
Ken Stabler.
Ken Stabler. The snake.
The lefty.
Let's see, who else have we
that's
got?
That's three we got.
They all wore the same number. That.
Did they really?
What number was that?
That was 12.
They all wore the same number.
That's a great trivia question.
By the way, Nick Saban, $11 million a year right now.
Oh, $11 million. Oh, it went up. Cost of living. 10% cost of living. An extra million. Nick, here you go. Well, you know what? The money they get... The revenue from the TV rate, from TVs and all that stuff, and the money that they generate is so huge. They can afford. That's why I feel sorry for these guys. They're out there. They're generating the money, but they don't get even a piece of it. They don't get nothing of it. Well, I take it back. They're getting their education. But how many are actually getting educated? You know? How many are actually getting educated?
Well, Tom, you might as well talk about college in general these days. how many kids are really getting educated other than teach them how to drink beer and party, you know, they get a, you know, they get an A in party 101, right?
Hey, Bushy, I go to Oshkosh. I take offense to that. Party 101 is a hard class.
Okay. All right. Hey, oh, you go to Oshkosh?
I do.
Okay, now,
hey, all
do
right.
you fish right there on the river?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
on the Fox?
Chuck a line out. It's right there on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there.
So I can hook
How
you up. There's
that?
A couple of young guys who worked at Park Avenue Pizza, one of our sponsors. And then one of them actually is going to Oshkosh this year, and he's big into fishing. And, yeah, I'll have to see. Yeah, hook you guys out. You can be fishing partners.
All right. Right. Let's do this break right now. Yeah, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. Now, you can catch us on two radio stations, 1250 AM or 105.7 FM, The Fan. Either one works. Same show and every same time, same place.
Same bat channel.
Same bat channel right here.
Same bat.
Yep. So stay tuned for more of the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. A cool song. You want to get in on this, Danny? We're coming up. That's a good one.
Mics are hot.
Yeah, mics are hot. Danny's watching deer out in the field by the station.
They don't make them like that anymore.
That's right, they don't.
Welcome back to
here,
the
turn
Skipper
it up
Buds.
Now. There you go. as Nick is dancing over there. That's right, they don't. All righty, Danny. Yeah, you were watching
this
some deer over there,
the
huh?
Skipper Buds. Cutting Edge Outdoors. Yeah, I said to Tom and Nick here, I said, you know, if all these deer are running around, we should see some running around out there. And sure enough, I look out there, and there goes a couple through running around out there. One looked like a buck chasing a doe. And just now, there's two little guys out there feeding Tom, and even they're getting a little randy. They're like sparring and chasing each other around like
oh,
they're
yeah?
a couple kids trying
yeah?
to wrestle in the living room. So, yeah, there's two little
That's
feisty
funny.
Ones out there. They're fawns, and
yeah.
they're just chasing each other and playing. So,
That's
you
funny.
Know, even they're getting the they're kind of getting the heebie-jeebies with
yeah.
all this breeding going on with the adults. They're getting wound up.
What do you got on the line there?
I got our winner from last week's football picks, Mike, and he'd like to thank you guys
okay.
for a fabulous meal here.
All right. Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Good, good. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I won the football. I was in the football contest last week, and I got your coupon for Curly's.
Yeah, and you went out there?
We went yesterday. Very good food.
Hey,
yeah, isn't
good
that,
to hear.
Was that your first time there?
That was my first time there.
That's a cool place, ain't it?
It's a nice place. Seems like the atmosphere is like up north, you know, in the woods, you know, at the taverns up there and all that stuff.
Yeah, you get some of the musky anglers, you know, when they come in for a lunch break, you know, they'll come in, you know, they'll
yeah,
tie their boat up at the...
Boats out there yesterday.
Yeah, oh yeah, there were a few boats out.
Yeah,
you
and you can kind of sit, actually, in the summer, they got a deck you can just sit on and look out towards the lake, people
yeah.
launching the boats and stuff, so yeah.
yeah.
Really
well, that's
good,
great. I'm glad you had a good
really
time.
Good food, good sponsor. We're lucky to have so many good sponsors.
Yeah.
Yep, that's for sure.
Well, thanks for calling and letting us know. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a nice weekend.
All right.
All right. You too.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
See, those gift certificates that we give out, they're valuable.
I was at our other sponsor, Park Avenue Pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
This week. And, of course, I got the spaghetti and meatball special last night.
Yeah.
It wasn't on special. Thursdays, it's on special, but I said, I don't care. I want the spaghetti and meatball special.
Don't they treat you
and
special?
And they gave me so much food that I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning like I was ready to explode because I ate the whole salad. I ate all the big giant meatballs. I ate the whole thing, everything. It's like when they hand you the bag.
And a big like, loaf of bread, probably.
Do they give you? Oh, yeah, they give you some of that garlic cheese bread. And when I get the food, I always tell myself I'll only eat half because they give you the bag. And it's like when you go to the Chinese places
yeah,
and
yeah.
about dislocates your shoulder when they hand you the bag. Here you go. Boom. You know, you're like you're walking out
mm-hmm.
with a bowling, carrying your bowling ball out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're not going to be able to eat all that. But guess what? Once you start eating it, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
You almost eat the plate and the plastic forks, too. You just go crazy. But then you wake up at 1 a.m. like I did with the stomach going,
oh,
it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. I'm recovered now, though.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Like a rutting buck ready to go run around.
Yeah. Yeah, I like going to the Chinese places. We have a favorite one that we go to in Menominee Falls. You know, I like that. Yeah. But I have cut back, though.
You have?
Yeah, I've cut
back on
because,
the Chinese.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I can eat two plates. I mean, I'm not talking like piles.
His old nickname was Two Plates Tom.
Yeah. No, I mean, I used to do the three plates, you know, but I just do two. I mean, they're not piled that high, but I cut back because it's like, I know if I eat any more, I'm going to feel really bad later, you know? So if I kind of like cut it at a certain point, I don't feel bad or anything. I don't feel that logy feeling or whatever. So,
logy.
Yeah. Logy.
Did I make up a word? I think it's loggy, Tom.
No, it's logy. Come on.
So, loging right along here. I was looking online with the deer. We were talking about deer before in roadkill. You guys were talking about this. They did kind of change their mind on that deer carcass transport thing. Now, the best way, check the regulations, guys, but if you shoot a deer in a CWD zone, you can transport it as long as you have 72 hours, is from what I understand, to get it to a processor.
Or get it home.
No. They want it to go to a licensed processor, not to your home. Well, you can get it home and then to a processor within the 72 hours, Tom.
Okay.
The reason they want it at a processor is because they take better precautions as far as disposal and stuff handling. They don't want Tom Neubauer and his son skinning it in their garage by themselves.
But let me ask you this question, just playing devil's advocate.
Well, I know it's
going
to be hard to reinforce,
Tom.
Yeah, who's
going to
know? I know what you're going to say before you even say it.
Yeah, who's going to know?
Listen, if you got a conscience, Tom, you know. Okay? It's kind of like when you kept that extra change from the clerk and you didn't tell her, hey, you gave me a dollar too much. Sure, you can think who's going to know and walk out the door.
No, I always give it.
But you
got to
live with yourself.
I always give it back.
So do I.
I've gotten too much money back sometimes.
Other changes, Zone A ruffed grouse. They were talking about this whole fall, late summer. They were worried about monitoring that situation. I think it's because they were finding some West Nile virus in some of the ruffed grouse. They have shortened the season in Zone A. It used to close January 31st, so it's going to close December 31st. But if you shoot one January 1st, Tom, who's going to know? So, and then we've got one thing I was reading.
Who's going to know?
Perch fishing up in the bay. Seems like I'm reading reports. It seems to be coming back up there. They've been getting a bunch around O'Connell County Park 2.
Yeah.
A lot of shore anglers are fishing perch right now. This time of year, I used to catch them right on the Suamico River before anybody musky fished or walleye fished in the 80s when I lived on the Suamico River right by the boat launch. Rented a house there, and I'd catch perch sitting in a lawn chair this time of year in the backyard.
Yep. They are starting to come back. It's going to take a while, though, to get it back where it used to be. But I do have a good report for the Rock River.
Okay.
Down there by Fort Atkinson, Jefferson area, that whole stretch, especially closer to Fort Atkinson. The report is very good. A lot of walleyes being caught. And the one fellow I talked to, he said he caught 11 or 12, and four of them were over the legal size limit, which is really good for the Rock River. Normally you get a lot of short ones, which he did, but he had four legal ones, which is good. So, and I asked him about how many boats were there, and he said, no, not bad at all. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Woodcock hunting, I heard, has been superb in northern Wisconsin.
Is that right? Yeah.
I was going to ask you, did you ever hunt woodcock?
I never hunted for them specifically, but I did shoot one once.
Okay, because I'm in the same.
and it was going really fast.
Okay, Tom, what is the other name for the woodcock?
Oh, what is the other name for a woodcock? Tree sparrow.
No,
I don't know.
No. Why don't you give some mini mites away to somebody on that one?
I don't have any to give away.
Okay, never mind.
I wish I did.
Never mind. Otherwise,
I'm waiting for
have a caller call in.
I'm waiting for Frank to send me some. You know,
I'd ask Mike
to give away
here. Mike, what's the other name for a woodcock?
I think
he just flipped me off.
Yeah, like Mike's gonna know.
No, he never would do that. He was waving high.
Big time Mike McGivern in the studio.
Big time
here.
Mike McGivern.
Oh goodness.
Yeah,
me.
No, Mike would never do that.
We got a couple of callers. I bet you they know the other
I'm
name
sure
for
they
a
do.
Woodcock. I bet you they do.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought you knew everything.
No,
Tom.
No, God, no.
How
I wish
it
I did.
It seems like you know everything. Like,
no.
Every only, other hour.
No.
1 hour you know everything. The next hour you all blank.
I wish I. There's only one person I know that knows
all those
everything.
Those concussions you got in high school football.
There's only one person I know who knows everything.
Jesus.
You got it.
Okay.
He knows everything. What do we got?
We got Rick, and I think he knows the answer.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Yeah, so you know the other name for a wood clock?
Timberdoodle.
Timberdoodle.
Oh, yes. I should have known that.
Timberdoodle. Yeah.
I have heard that.
Rick, you don't win nothing.
But,
that's okay.
We don't have anything. But yeah, Timberdoodle.
You get an attaboy. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Awesome.
Take care. Thanks.
Thanks
for listening, Rick.
Okay, bye now.
Yeah, Timberdoodle.
Yeah. So the other people hung up because they knew. You know, I have read that before. I have. I've seen that, and I should have known that.
Except you just said wood clock.
What, did I say wood
you
clock?
You said another name. The wood clock is the Timberdoodle.
Yeah, the little cuckoo bird in the clock.
I used to have a wood clock. It would go ding, ding, ding every hour at my grandpa's house. So hunting's been superb. I was like you, Tom. I shot two in my life, and I was bunny rabbit hunting up by Denmark, Wisconsin. And I was pretty quick back then. You know, I was, you know, lightning fast reflexes, you know. Same as, you know, when I was a sprinter at Green Bay Preble, I was lightning out of the blocks with that reaction. So anyway, one time this Timberdoodle went up,
I did
the dumbest thing I've ever done. I shot from the hip.
Yeah.
And even as I did it, I thought, this is dumb. But in one smooth, lightning fast motion, I pumped the shell out, shouldered the shotgun, and boom, took her out of the sky.
Yeah.
And they fly all crazy and stuff.
They're Hey, when I hit that one,
it was all leaving the bar at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
They're like,
and you know what?
Swerving all over the goddamn place.
I was doing the same thing. I was bunny hunting.
You were swerving out of the bar at 2 a.m.?
I was bunny hunting when I shot the woodcock.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't even looking for those things. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more, folks. Stay tuned to the
Skipper
what?
Buds.
Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds. Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We know a lot of people are in the tree stands. We know a lot of people are in the boats, musky fishing. And for those of you that are listening, you probably wish you were right there, but thanks for taking a ride on the train. We want to thank the men in blue, our police officers out there, law enforcement, protecting us. We want to thank the first responders and the military. Cutting Edge Outdoors supports you guys for what you do, and thanks for listening as well.
Danny, there is one other thing, too.
Today,
I might be getting the name wrong, but today at Smokey's Musky Bait and Tackle Shop, there's a couple of guys that started this a number of years ago. Is it called Sucker Fest or Sucker Mania? I think it's Sucker Fest.
Soak Fest.
Sucker Fest, where it's a musky
Soaker
tournament.
Fest.
It's a musky tournament, which they all use suckers, basically. But what's interesting about it, it's $150 a boat, right? And they usually get about 12 or 15 boats out there. It's a team event. It's winner take all. I like that. Winner take it all. No second
losers
place.
Losers go home.
Because
third grade
second,
soccer.
Yeah,
not everybody
second,
gets a trophy,
yeah, that's
Johnny.
Right. Second place is like kissing
snowflake.
Your sister anyway.
Musky fishermen
anyway.
Can't be snowflakes.
Yeah. Who do you got on the line there?
Got Vince in Oconomowoc for
all
you.
All right. Hey, good morning, Vince.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Bushy,
what's up?
I got a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
First of all, I remember years ago seeing a number of pictures of you with a really large muskie out of Okachi. And I was wondering, what's the muskie population like out there these years? And if you were to go out this time of year, are you trolling? Are you casting? Are you dragging suckers? Give me some pointers in that area.
Okay, actually that fish was caught November 6, 2003, and that was caught on a Sunday in Pewaukee. Mm. And actually... I was out just dragging suckers, which is the same thing that I would do on Okachi.
Definitely.
Or Oconomowoc this
yep.
time of year. You can cast, and some guys will be working deep water with, you know, bulldogs and different things. But I like to drag suckers, and what I like to do, no matter what body of water I find this time of year, I will try and find where the steepest breaks are. Into the deep water. So, you know, where maybe all of a sudden it drops, you know, from like 18 feet down to 30 feet or whatever, and work those breaks just and bounce one of the suckers vertical where you're dragging it with one to maybe 1.5 ounce weight or whatever, up a couple feet ahead of that sucker, and you're just kind of dragging it along the bottom, and then suspend one down maybe 15 feet and 20 feet of water, whatever, under one of the McPhil slip floats, and just go spend an enjoyable day out there working around, and you should get something chomping onto a sucker, and it could be a big one.
Thanks a lot, Bushy.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for
calling. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I got to tell you something, Danny. You know, nowadays, it started a few years back where guys were, you know, anchoring in, like, say, 10, 12 feet of water looking for a sharp break, you know, down that broke down deep to deep water. And guys are anchoring in that 10, 12, 15 feet of water, and they're taking a big weight, like an egg sinker, and putting a sucker on a quick strike rig and throwing it out into that deep water where it's, let's say, 20 to 30 feet deep. Mm-hmm. And just letting it on the bottom. Let that sucker swim around the bottom. I mean, there's no weeds down there anyway, so it's not a big deal. And they're doing very well. But you know what? That's not something new. A lot of guys are saying, oh, this is a new technique. This is new. It's not new.
Well, I know Johnny Regal and Paul Mihalik were doing it a lot on Pewaukee.
Right.
And they were parking.
Oh, there are a lot of people doing it out there.
In fact, parking on spots. And the thing that you realize is you can just sit there all day and there's certain feeding windows.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you stay on the spot and you're patient, eventually something's going to start grabbing suckers.
Matter of fact, Ron Heidenreich went out with Paul Mihalik last week.
Yeah.
And Ron got two, and Paul missed one. And they went to like two or three different spots.
Right.
They were only out for like 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
But it's not a new technique. Our old friend who's passed away,
Tony Rizzo,
he wrote about it many years ago, back in the 70s. I'll never forget it. It was called shore sitting. And what Tony would do is either it was his land or somebody else's land that he knew that he'd go on the shore, and he'd have a rowboat. And he'd have his clients on the shore. He'd start a fire for them, all right, so they could stay warm. It was in this time of year. And he would row the suckers out over that deep water, drop them in with a weight, you know, drop them in, and then row back. And then they would just sit there with their rods and either rod holders or sticks with a little Y at the end just to prop them up and wait for a fish to pick them up. So he was doing the same thing, only from shore. He was a very an innovator when it came to that. And the funny thing is that when I was younger in muskie fishing and I heard about this, there was no place around here where you could do that because everything's owned by somebody. You know, you couldn't do that, you know. And I never thought about it at the time. It's like, why don't I just anchor the boat along the shoreline, you know, basically in the shallower water and cast out the suckers.
Well, I didn't
read. Which you're doing now.
I didn't read Tony Rizzo talking about it, but I did read I believe it was Al Denninger who used to guide up there out of John Detloff's place there on the Chippewa Flowage. I believe it was he who used to talk about doing that as well.
Yeah, and he got it from Tony Rizzo.
And they'd come back, and then they'd just stick the rod in rod holders on the beach and just sit there and chill out.
Yeah, exactly. But he got that from Tony Rizzo because he was the innovator on that.
Tony was the innovator.
Tony was the guy who did it.
You got a book that has that in there?
Yeah.
I don't have it. Bring me that book.
No, I don't have the book. I'm saying I read it.
You read it.
In one of his things years ago. I'm sure if you looked on, it was back in the 70s.
Ask our good friend Rod Grimmie. He's, you know, was fished with Tony Rizzo.
Hey, wait a minute. What if you could Google it?
Nah, we don't have enough.
Google it.
We don't have enough time to
Google. No, not now.
Google.
But, I mean, when you get home, you can get on the computer.
Well, yeah, let's get the research people on that, Tom, and get ready for next week's.
Our crack crew.
Let's get the on our let's get our people on that.
Yeah, we got people. You know, actually, I have a friend. He doesn't live in this state.
You got a little imaginary friend, Tom?
Yeah. No, I got a friend who lives in Delaware.
That's nice.
And this is funny. One time, us guys were together, us old friends.
She wish
from,
I had a friend.
From grade school, you know, and then in high school. You know, we were together one time, and this is a number of years ago. And we asked this guy, we said, hey, what? I'm not going to use any names. We said, what actually do you do? Because he was some kind of electrical systems operating manager or something for DuPont. And what exactly do you do? And I said, oh, do you draw the specs or something? He says, no, I got people for that. And do you do this part? And he says, no, I have people for that. Everything we asked him, what do you do? He said he had people for that. And I said, oh, you got people. I wish I had people. Yeah. I said, so what exactly do you do? He says, well, I just make sure it works when my people are all done. Yeah, okay. Sounds great. Well, the guy, they sent him all over the world building these plants, you know, Singapore, the Netherlands, all over. Yeah, he was, but it was kind of funny.
So we got the election coming up this week. So I figure that here's some political. Why did the chicken cross the road? Ready for him?
Okay, you got about 30 seconds.
I know, that's why I'm starting now. Good. Okay, now you had to interrupt me and tell me I got 30 seconds.
Okay,
I'm
not going to interrupt
Donald
you
Trump, we will build a big wall to keep illegal chickens from crossing the road. We will have a door for illegal chickens. Eric Holder, when the chickens go low, we kick them. Dianne Feinstein, I didn't tell anyone the chicken crossed the road. Governor Walker, to get away from our Foxconn. Christine Blasey Ford, I knew the chicken crossed the road. I don't know where or when. Brett Kavanaugh, we and the chickens like to drink beer. Lots and lots of beer. Stormy Daniels, I had an affair with that chicken. Captain Kirk, to boldly go where no chicken has gone before.
I like that. I had an affair with that chicken.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, okay.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Go out, do something nice for someone today, my friends. We'll talk to you all next week. And watch for a deer on the roads.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.